This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Up in Charlotte, they're going to fire the engines tonight. The lights will come on, and they will have NASCAR's All-Star Racing. And joining us now from Charlotte on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Guy keeps an eye on all things with NASCAR, especially there, Adam Alexander from FS1. Adam, good morning.
Sam, how are you today?
Always great. Great to hear from you. Always good to catch up with you. And the thing I want to ask you, first of all, is what are the next 2 weeks like? Because you get to sleep in your own – you and a lot of people get to sleep in your own bed the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny, Sam, the balance of being at home, because it's always nice, as you said, to sleep in your own bed and have life be somewhat normal, even though you're still covering the races, and typically that involves travel and being in a hotel somewhere. On the other side of that, because everyone in NASCAR is home for a two-week period, they try to cram a lot of promotional items, fundraisers, foundation events, that kind of thing, into the two-week period when everyone's here in and around Charlotte. And so it is busy. It kind of takes you out of your routine of, you know, when you're on the road, you kind of develop a system and a way of doing things as far as preparation and all of that. And that changes when you're at home. You have those normal home responsibilities. And so it's a unique couple of weeks for sure. But being in your own bed and having a short drive to the racetrack and not getting on an airplane, that trumps everything else that comes with these couple of weeks.
Yeah. One thing that always happens is new things and developmental things. I think we've seen with this race, you know, especially in recent year, paint schemes, paint themes, and also a race package that we got last year that, you know, made racing better. What are you looking forward to come out of, you know, today and tonight and the next week?
Well, I think probably there's not as much anticipation for tonight's Arrow setup as there was last year, just because last year was so new and exciting and met with so much anticipation that you probably can't bottle that up again and recreate it for this year. But I do think that the excitement comes in knowing that what we see on these cars tonight could be a strong foundation and a real nice peek into the future, into the Gen 7 car, which will debut in 2021. And I believe NASCAR has done a great thing in debuting these types of rule setups in the All-Star race, that they could take three or four cars to Charlotte any day of the week and test it. You could leave a couple of cars up in Michigan after we race there, do the same in Daytona this summer, and on and on. But when you put three or four cars on track, you don't get a real feel because, one, those guys aren't competing. And number two, you really need a group of 15, 20, 30 cars to figure out how they're really going to react in that configuration. The All-Star race provides that. Teams want to win. They're going to compete. And you've got enough cars out there to get a true test of what this particular aero setup and the dynamics of the cars will be like in real race conditions. So I think this is a good idea by NASCAR, and I applaud the teams for participating. And so I think it'll be fun to watch and see what we learn.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com hotline this morning with Adam Alexander. You can follow him always on Twitter at @Adam1Alexander, all lowercase, @Adam1Alexander. Thoughts about this race now? You know, we're looking at things, and Clint Boyer is on the pole. Been a while since we've seen him on the pole. And I saw something he put on, posted on social media, $1 million, which you get for winning this particular race. No points, but there's a big, big purse on the line.
Well, there is. And, you know, it's 10 years ago tonight. I say tonight, 10 years ago, All-Star Weekend 2009, that Stewart Haas Racing got their first win, Sam, with Tony Stewart driving that 14 car. And here we are 10 years later, and Clint Boyer trying to get him their first win of the year. It's pretty hard to believe But that group, when you consider all the success they had last year, all four of the drivers won, all four made the round of eight. They've gone through the first dozen races this season and have not produced a winner. All-star race is different. It's not a points event, but they would love to capture a checkered flag any way they can. And it would appear, based on what we saw in practice yesterday, and you alluded to the qualifying times and Clint Bowyer being on the pole, that they're going to have a really good chance tonight to go out and get it done.
Kevin Harvick won this thing a year ago. He's going to run tonight in a car with a rather interesting theme. I think he's had, like, memes and emojis all over. I've seen the picture that's like this odd color of pink. And he kind of made fun of it. But I think it'll catch a lot of people's attention tonight.
Well, Busch Beer is one of his sponsors, and they put together this millennial car. And so littered all over the car is what you alluded to, all these different millennial catchphrases and shortcuts on ways to, you know, communicate via text message and other social media platforms. And Kevin has gotten more mileage out of this than you can imagine. It's just been so funny to watch his reaction as a 40-something to driving a pink millennial-themed car. He even had some avocado toast a few weeks ago and talked about eating healthy and what the millennials do. So it has been really funny to watch this whole thing unfold with Kevin driving a millennial car and getting educated on what all the different phrases mean. And to watch him participate and kind of bring something from a different side. And you know, you said earlier, All-Star Night's about different paint schemes, and this is certainly one of the more unique ones we've seen.
Yep, it is. I had a chance to take a look at that. Looking forward to seeing that. Spitty's Apple, the Wayfront.com hotline with Adam Alexander from FS1, getting set to fire the engines tonight for NASCAR's All-Star race. I go all the way back to 92 in the first one at night there in Charlotte, and it was just an adventure, first of all, to see the cars under the lights. And I just remember what a wild time that whole race was. Davey Allison won it, and Dale Earnhardt Sr. was there then. He got spun, and his car was pinned against the wall, and the fans doused him with beer. this race has been known for unusual things to happen.
Darrell Waltrip won the first one in 1985. And the minute he crossed the start-finish line, his engine just exploded. So they were totally prepared to go the distance on the nose. And then the hand, it looked like a hand grenade blew up in that car. But then he just exploded as he crossed the start-finish line and went into turn one. So that was a dramatic way to start the All-Star race, then called the Winston. And it's really played out that way ever since. You talked about what happened in 1992, the wild finish with Davey Allison winning a race that's been dubbed One Hot Night. It was the first ever night race in All-Star competition. I think it was 1987, rather, that Darrell Waltrip looked like he was going to win again. Rusty Wallace spun him. Rusty wins, and Darrell says he can choke on that $200,000 because at that time the prize to win was $200,000. You know, Carl Edwards won, spun through the grass doing his burnout and hit a drainage grade on the infield grass.
Yeah, I remember that.
Tore his car all apart. You know, I think about Jeff Gordon when they got the backup cars out. They all went into turn one. It rained. They wrecked, and NASCAR allowed them to get backup cars out, and Gordon went on to win. So there have been some real crazy moments in the history of the All-Star race.
Think about a driver, you know, who's been trying to get there, and the guy we've been watching for, and just because of what he's accomplished. Jimmy Johnson, what's going on, you know, with him? And, you know, we had some changes with him coming into this season, sponsor and crew. How is that progressing? And you know, do you think, you know, this year we have a chance to see him find his way to the checkered flag?
Well, I think that's a major question mark. There were times in years past where I would have sat here and said, you know, Sam, we're talking about a seven-time champion, a guy that's got over 80 wins. It's just a matter of time before they, you know, they find the sweet spot and go out and start winning races. And I think that that's to be determined. Is it capable? Is he capable? Is that team capable? Yes. I think all of it can come together and they can find their way. And the Hendrick cars have shown better speed here in recent weeks. Chase one at Talladega. Alex Bowman has been really good with three consecutive runner-up finishes. They've been qualifying better. I just think that that 48 team has been a step or two off and probably has gotten a little bit dinged in the confidence category, and so they need to find their way. I think Jimmy is still competing like he always has. The reality is he has a rookie crew chief in Kevin Mendering, who I'm sure is still learning Jimmy and learning the paces of doing business at the top level in NASCAR. I certainly hope he wins, because here's the other factor. When you look at where they are in regard to the playoff standings, he's hovering right around the cut line. He has no breathing room right now. And so if you get some oddball winners throughout the summer and Jimmy doesn't win and their performance doesn't pick up and become more consistent, not only could we be talking about him not winning, we could be talking about them not making it into the playoffs. That winless streak right now, is it 2 years? I mean, there's a lot going on with Jimmy Johnson right now.
Yeah, we'll watch see what happens with him. Meanwhile, there's a guy on the point for the open race tonight, Daniel Hemric. A rookie will be on the pole for that race. I think the top three come into the All-Star race. Thoughts about him and what he's doing so far?
He's a rookie. He drives for Richard Childress Racing. And I think he's someone to watch, not just in the open, but as we get into All-Star. You were given the rundown of some of the top qualifiers earlier, and one of the names mentioned is Austin Dillon. And Hemric is his teammate. And those two have continued to get better in the early portion of the year. And I think this is a race that's kind of made for them, because the one thing RCR has had a hard time doing this year is finishing races. But I think they've proven at different times that they have speed in their race cars. And this All-Star format may suit them very well. It's not 400 miles. It's not 500 miles. It's a shootout. And I think that favors them. And, you know, if you look at the history of All-Star, it's a little bit of a who's who. A lot of NASCAR champions and Hall of Famers on the wins list when you look at the history of this race dating back to the mid-'80s. But I think the format does set up for us to have a little bit of a wild card pull in the victory lane. And if you were going to pick an underdog, I think you would probably look at a guy like a Daniel Hemric, who's quite capable of advancing out of the open because he has a great car and he's starting on the pole and then putting himself in position in the All-Star race to make something happen.
All right, we'll be watching for that. Of course, that comes your way at 6 o'clock. That gets things started tonight up in Charlotte. Adam, we thank you for spending some time with us and giving us a preview. Enjoy the races tonight. We'll be joining your call.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.